We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Without further ado, I want to share a message tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. The Lord had really been dealing with my heart for a little while on this, and so I'm really excited to share this. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians 2, 12 to 13. And while you're turning there, I just want to share how awesome this week has been. Monday night, we went to clergy on patrol, which is this thing down with the mayor actually started. And so Andy and Sarah Fulman came with me. And then we realized we were like almost there. And we're like, wait, what are we doing? What is this? We didn't really know what we were getting into, like what we had kind of signed up for. So we're like, okay, let's just take a couple laps and like figure out like what's going on here. So, but we saw, when we took the laps, we're like, okay, it looks actually kind of like cool. So basically what it is, and we ended up having a really awesome time. But so basically what it is, it's these police officers that come out with all the clergy, the different pastors and ministers within the city of Rochester, and they knock on doors. They go door to door within like the really bad parts of town. Like we were in North Clinton Ave, which the mayor's assistant told us is like the worst part of Rochester. So we're like, we didn't do it because it was thunderstorming, but they said, come back to the next one and that's what we're going to do. But we were so excited to use the gospel soul running script to be able to go door to door, because how many of you know that Jesus is the only thing that can change someone's life? Jesus is the only thing that can transform a life. And so we come with the gospel. We don't just knock on doors and like anoint it with oil, you know, and like wave around different flags and stuff like that. We come there to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to see lives touched and changed, because I don't know about you, but my life was radically touched and changed. And I can't keep my mouth shut about it, because Jesus is Lord. He is so good. And everything that he's done in my life has caused me to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God into salvation. And when you begin to step out and see that God can use you, it's the best thing ever. So, hallelujah. So clergy on patrol Monday night was awesome. We pranked Pastor Jeremiah and we told him it wasn't what it really was and kind of freaked him out. And he's like, just try and stay there as long as you can. You know, long story short, we ended up telling him it was awesome. We had a great time. So I got to meet the mayor. She's so sweet and she's really on board with us starting to do these outreaches within the city. So we are in the process of looking for different parks and different land that the mayor will give us permission to go there, to set up a tent, to set up a table, to do outreaches, to be able to bless the community, give away food, and be able to then preach the gospel and see lives get touched and changed. So I know we have a really great leadership team here at this church. And I know everyone, every member, that God has changed your life and touched you, that you want to be used by God as well. So we're going to give you some dates when we start to announce when we're doing these outreaches in the city. And it's going to be so awesome. And then last night we had prayer, which was really awesome, you know, because we really believe that God can move on our behalf when we ask him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we just need to open our mouth and ask the Lord. And when we get into his word and we discover exactly what his will is and his plan is for our life, it's easy then to pray. It's easy to speak out and to speak the word. And maybe because I like to talk a lot, prayer is like super fun for me, because I'm just like talking to my heavenly Father. And it's sometimes I just need to shut my mouth off and then receive, you know, and hear what the Lord has to say to me. So, hallelujah. So, have you found Philippians 2? Okay, so I want to share a message tonight on a quick work in Christ, because looking back on my life and where I was and what God had done in my life, I want to share, because I feel like there's some things that the Lord spoke to me about, the Lord did in my life that made the process quicken. It made it speed up. It made it that you didn't have to spend 40 years going around the mountain, going around, you know, the valley and everything and dealing with heartache and problems one after another, but that you could live a life resembling Christ that goes from victory to victory, from glory to glory. And so that's really what I want to share on tonight. And I want to start in Philippians 2. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Let me just stop there a second. So we're going to get into some character things tonight. We're going to get into some things that we are going to have to take responsibility and take action on the word of God. This is not going to be one of your messages where we come up here and we quake and bake and roll around. And then we think that God is the one that's going to do everything on our behalf. We have to rise up and we have to be mature in the things of God and know that right here in his word, it says, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. And that even spoke to me too, that sometimes, all the time, character is when no one's there, when no one's looking. What is your character like? Who are you like when no one's around? Who are you like when you're not at church? Okay, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So for people that want to argue and say that, you know, once saved, always saved, that once you accept Jesus, that you can never fall away from the things of God, then why would we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? So we are all on different spiritual levels in this process of working out our salvation. So that's what I want to kind of get into tonight, is that we're all on different spiritual levels. And this is what was one of the keys for me when I was in Bible school, that I basically, because, you know, I got saved. And right after I got saved, I went to Bible school. And I moved down to Florida with, you know, $100 to my name, and that was it. And I was, like, living out of my car. And so, honestly, even before that, like, I was living in the hood, in the not so nice parts of town. Like, you would not even really be able to recognize Julia, who, you know, Julia Musso, who I was formerly before I got saved. But so the one key that I took when I was in Bible school was that I didn't care what anybody else's spiritual walk looked like. I didn't care what they were going through, and not in a sense that I didn't love people or I wasn't walking in love. It's that I didn't want to get distracted to the left or to the right for what God was doing in somebody else's life. So does anybody remember that, like, you know, with video games? I remember that one of the first video games I ever saw was this, like, Zelda game. Have anybody ever heard of Zelda? It's like this feminine fairy guy character that, like, is, like, you know, hopping around, like, killing things. Am I right? Isn't it something like that? Anybody remember it? I didn't play it. I just watched my cousin play it. And so, it just started getting me thinking about these different video games and stuff like that. And then, I was reminded how the first time I actually played a video game, though, it was 007. Does anybody know what 007 is? You know, I'm showing my age here, you know? But anyway, so I played this game 007, and I'm, like, totally lost. I'm, like, in a corner for literally, like, 2 minutes. And I'm, like, it's totally black. My screen's black. I'm not really sure what's going on here. My cousin looks at my screen, and he's, like, you're in a corner. Like, you're literally just standing in a corner, running in and out of this corner. So my point in saying this is that when we play video games, we always have to go to the next level in order to beat the game, right? You can't just win the game and just playing one level and succeeding at one level. And each level, as you know, it gets tougher and more difficult. There's more zombies. There's more psychopaths. There's more crazy people. Each level, it just gets worse and worse. And you have to each time beat the next harder level to get to win the game. And I'm comparing this to our walk with the Lord, because there are things that God wants to take out of your life, and there's things that God wants to make you victorious in, because he wants to take you to the next level. And we're all on this different level of process. And someone who gets saved last Sunday is at a different level than someone who's been saved for 30 years. We would hope so, right? We would hope that you would be going further in the things of God, but a lot of times that's unfortunately not the case. You see some Christians, some believers that they've been saved for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, but they're still going around the mountain. They're still going around, you know, the last battle, the last video game level, because they haven't been able to either put down what God doesn't want them to have or to step out and be used in the way that God wants to use them. So my life was so drastically changed in a short amount of time because I was focused on what my process was. I was focused on what I needed to work out. Because honestly, when I got saved, so many things dropped off my life instantly. And honestly, I've never really heard of a testimony that's like as radical as far as the moment that salvation came. And I would look forward to, you know, finding others that are like that. But as far as like right away, instantly, I didn't touch alcohol at all. I was not interested in it. Right away, I stopped dealing with any sort of temptation to experiment and do drugs. Right away, my lips were like instantly saved. It was instantly like the Lord came down, touched my mouth, and a swear word never came out of my mouth again since I got saved. And I'm telling you, I had a sailor's mouth. I mean, you name it, I said it before I was saved. So it was like the Lord just touched my mouth and it was like instantly done. You know, I was also then completely able to forgive myself for all the awful things I had done, and I was able to forgive those who had done awful things to me. It was like 500 pounds was just like lifted off of my chest, and I had no bondage, no baggage, no hurt, no like broken heart and things like that, what God delivered me from in that moment, because I was in a really nasty, awful, abusive relationship and so close to death that when I was able though to receive Jesus, it was like I didn't even, like it was like I was, like that was a movie. Like that was not me. I wasn't even talking about myself anymore. I'd been completely delivered from that. And what's so crazy is that before that, I had been to so many therapists. I had been to like, you know, psychologists. They all said I had post-traumatic stress disorder. They said I was just like, I wasn't all there in my mind. And I knew that I wasn't all there in my mind. Like I knew things were not right. But it was like the moment I got saved, I received the mind of Christ. And it was like I didn't need any medication. I didn't need to deal with any of that stuff anymore. It was like totally delivered. So I'm saying tonight, I focused on what was my process. And so instantly those things fell off of my life. But when I went to Bible school, I quickly realized there was things that God wanted to work in my life to take me to the next level so that he could use me. Because there's a level that you can go your whole life and you can just be like, bring it in, Lord, bring it in. Just pour the blessings. Just give it to me, God. Like, you know, you can stay at that level or you can rise above and you can say, okay, I'm going to the next level. I'm not just living for me anymore. I'm living for others. I'm living for Jesus. There's a difference between confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and him being Lord of your life than just receiving salvation. I see it all the time. I see people, they say the prayer, they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but he's not actually that. Because if he was your Lord and Savior, your actions, your lifestyle, everything would line up with the Word of God. So I took that time when I was in Bible school for a time of consecration. I remember going down to Bible school and telling my roommate, I was like, okay, so before one of my weaknesses was being in a relationship, falling in love. I mean, who doesn't love that mushy, gushy, lovey feeling? You know what I mean? Who doesn't watch The Notebook and is just like, oh, wouldn't that be grand? We just die together right at the end and no one has to suffer. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's all of these like, you know, I'm a typical girl. I'm a girly girl. You know, my husband says he loves that about me. I'm a girly girl. I'm not your hunter. I'm not going to be out there in a tree stand in the freezing cold for like 6 hours. You know, I'm at the mall, okay? I'm shopping, all right? I'm finding sales, okay? So, but my husband loves that about me, and so I embrace it. So anyway, so I took that time when I was in Bible school. I told my roommate, and you need to find friends that will hold you accountable. You need to find friends that are going to challenge you in the things of God, that are not going to let you, when you have a weak moment, just go backwards and do what you specifically just told them that you're wanting to come out of and have victory in that area. So I told my roommate, I said, look, I have this thing. I kind of fall in love easy. So please just make sure, like, you know, I don't date anybody. No dating, because I had been in so many relationships previously before I got saved, and that was like a trap of like, you know, what happened, you know, to try and pull me in. So I tell my roommate this and she's like, okay, you know, a little time passes. I'm like, okay, this is fine. You know, like, I'm not dating anybody, but you know, you kind of wonder, you know, you look around and you're like, is that my husband? No. Is that my husband? No. It can't be him. And so I spent this season of like, I'm just seeking after the Lord. I'm not dating. I'm not getting distracted. And there was this one guy who was trying to like pursue me. And he actually told me that God told me that you're my wife. And I kind of got confused for like 10 seconds. And then I was like, well, he didn't tell me that. So Satan, get behind me, you know? So, you know, you need to have people in your life that are going to hold you accountable. But you also, if you're in a season that you're ready to like, you know, go to the next level with God, you need to take that seriously. And you need to make that decision that that's what's going to happen. Because, you know, there's a point that God wants to take you through. And I was at that stage where it was like, I do not trust myself. I don't trust myself to make life-altering decisions. I was like 22 years old. I was living out of a car for a little while. I mean, my family didn't want anything to do with me. And I mean, that's actually a good thing. But as far as like, I was like just totally not at a place to be married. I was not at a place to have kids. I was not at a place to help and to serve and to love on anyone else other than, Lord, just do the work in me. Take out what doesn't need to be in there and put in what needs to be in there. And you know, when I first went to Bible school, I actually, because I was saved for probably like 4 or 5 months before I went to Florida. And I remember feeling like when I'm down in Bible school, I was like, I just feel like, you know, it's not that feeling of like when I first got saved. You know, when you first get saved and it's just like, it's like cloud nine. It's like even undescribable. But I started to feel like every time that I got touched, that I got prayed for, it wasn't like the first time that I got saved. But I started realizing that we don't walk by feelings. And that's why River Bible Institute changed my life, because I started to realize that it's not, we don't live our life by feelings. We live and we operate by the word of God. Hallelujah. So I didn't trust myself. So I told my roommate to kind of make sure that I wasn't distracted by that. And so I'm so thankful that I took that time of consecration to the Lord to make sure that he did the work on the inside of me first. Because within less than 5 years of meeting Jesus, I was saved. I was forgiven and could forgive. I was healed in my body. I was set free from drugs and alcohol. I stopped swearing. I was mentally stable. I was tithing and I was giving above the tithe. I was married, and then my husband and I launched a church and we were pastoring full time. In 5 years, a girl who was living in the hood, who was living in like the worst parts of town in an abusive relationship, who was totally addicted to drugs and alcohol and everything the world had to offer. But because Jesus came and touched my life and set me apart and put me on the right path, and I was obedient to do everything that God was telling me to do, I stand here before you today. And I believe that God is no respecter of persons, right? So if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Hallelujah. So Joel 2:25. Go ahead and turn with me there tonight. You know, because I was telling the mayor's assistant about this when we were there, I think it was like last Wednesday. And I was like getting touched telling her this, because it almost like she looked at us like, yeah, you're just these young, happy, good, you know, these pastors, and you just have it all good. You have it all made, like, you know, everything's okay. And then when I began to share my testimony with her, she was like, her like jaw dropped. She was like, what? You? And I was like, yeah, me. And this is what the Lord was speaking to me when I said this to her. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And I was just like thinking about how the Lord has restored the locust to me. The 21 years that I spent making awful, stupid decisions and having to learn everything the hard way, it was like the Lord just restored it to me in 5 years. In 5 years, like he just restored it. So it doesn't matter what age that you are. It's the moment that you are ready to say, Lord, I am going after you with everything I have. I am not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I don't care what my spiritual walk is with my spouse. I don't care what you're doing in their life. I care what you're doing in my life. I am going to get hungrier than ever before, and I'm going to allow you to take me to the next level, whatever the level that he needs to take you to the next level. So if God can do that for me, he's no respecters of person, and you will never get anywhere comparing yourself to other believers. We cannot compare ourselves to other believers. I hear like all the time, people are like, well, what's so-and-so doing? Or what's going on in so-and-so's life? Or what are they, you know, what's happening there? I've learned to stay out of business that's not my own. I've learned to just not care really what's going on sometimes in other people's lives unless they come to me and they're seeking and they're asking and they're truly interested in hearing what the Word of God has to say or what you know, the Word of God really has to say, because experience and everything else doesn't matter. So Matthew 7, 3 through 5 says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Hallelujah. We are to keep ourselves fixed and focused through the Word of God and allowing it to pierce deep into our heart like a double-edged sword and to speak to us and show us what is right and what is wrong for our life. You know, for me, I got delivered from swearing, so I don't even say things sometimes that are in the Word of God that, you know, are somewhat sounding like inappropriate as far as like ASS or JACKASS or BASTARD. I don't say these words, even though they're in the Word of God, because I don't want anything to do with what the world has. And I know that in the world, that references that I've been in the world, I've been to the bars, I've been to the clubs, I know how they talk, and I know that's the way they talk. So what does a woman of God, what does a man of God having to do with anything that sounds or resembles what the Word of God has to say? So I keep my eyes focused on what I need to do. And this is something I even constantly have to remind myself, even within the ministry, because when people come to you, because you're going to grow into a step, or maybe you are already in a realm of leadership, and people come to you and they have problems and they have things going on in your life, in their life, you know what you can say? Okay, let's pray about that right now. And you nip it in the butt and you pray for it right then and there. You don't take time to just vent about it and have a pity party and go around the mountain. You know, the Lord spoke to me a little while ago when we first were like launching out in the ministry. He goes, when you stop having a pity party, I can start to use you. When I stopped pitying myself and my situations and circumstances that were going around in my life, and I started really just getting focused on God is good, God's taking us to the next level, and preaching and speaking faith, that's when the Lord began to use us in a greater way. That's when we started to see growth take place. And, you know, how many of you have heard and know that like River Church is like going to the next level? We are going forward. We are never going backwards. We are only doing more for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So you are not put on this earth to please man. You were put on this earth to please God. That is it. In your marriage, with your friends, in your as coworkers, you are here to please the Lord. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. And also, why do you care what some Christian who's washed up and is still struggling and dealing with things, why are you taking advice from them? Let alone, why are you taking advice from the world? You know, I had to get to the place where my family, I love them and I'm praying and I'm believing that they get radically saved and on fire for God. But they are all Catholic and they do not have any realm to speak into my life. And honestly, every time that River Church here is like, you know, Pastor Jeremiah and myself, we're like ready to go to the next level and doing something big for God, is when all hell breaks loose in my family. And it's no coincidence that that's just when the devil wants to come out and play and try and mess with us and pull us down. You have to get to a point where you have blinders on and you don't care. You do not care what's going on, because it's about what God can do in your life. Because when you grow to that level, then that you can pour into others, it's all worth it. It's so worth it. So we will never get anywhere comparing ourselves to the world. We'll never get anywhere comparing ourselves to other believers. You are put on this earth to please God. So I want to go through three things that I think I'm calling pass the test. Because there are three things that I believe the enemy uses for distractions. They're the main ones. And we've seen it here time and time again at River Church, that someone comes, they get a touch, they get an encounter, an experience from the Lord like never before. And then one of these three things seems to be what pulls them out. I know that there's other things, but these are the three main ones. So number one is sin. And I put here, do not open doors and keep the doors closed that you shut. When you go to the next level and the Lord takes something out of your life and you close that door on something that he set you free from, do not go back to it. The Bible says it's like a dog going back to its vomit. Like, how would we want to go back to something that God delivered us from? So when you shut that door, you keep it closed. You don't tiptoe. I don't understand these Christians where they feel like, okay, is this okay? Is that okay? It's like almost like they want to see how far, you know, how close they can get away from like the things of God with still being saved. You know, how close can I tippy toe to the edge without falling over? And so it's harder to close the door than to keep it when, like, if there's a door that you've never opened before, to just keep it shut than to ever open that door and to, and then have to like get delivered or set free from that. You know, it's so crazy. I know some Christians who've never drank in their life. They go to a church where the pastor will drink and the pastor will drink with them, and they open the door and they think that that's okay. If your pastor drinks, there's something wrong. Because how can somebody deliver someone from something? How can they be an example for Christ if they themselves are living in moderation or they're experimenting with that themselves? It doesn't work. Because here's the thing, sin will begin to overtake your life in every area. Because it becomes a bondage, because it becomes to have a hold on you, and then it affects every area of your life. Sin, you know, the Bible says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. To kill, steal, and destroy. And I always wondered, why is kill first and destroy last? Because really, when death comes, then it affects so many other people around you. It affects a wide range of individuals that are all, and it just comes to destroy, you know? It comes to destroy and take the whole family, to take everything down. But Jesus says that I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. So I don't get involved with business that doesn't concern me, that doesn't involve me. Someone's going on with something over here, I don't care. Unless like they're coming to me for pastoral advice, I'm not getting involved. I don't need any more work and headaches anyway. So if you take the time to just focus on what God wants to do in your life, this is a step that will excel and propel you forward in the things of God and make it a quickening, a quick work. Okay, so my second one is money. You must pass the money test and continue passing it for every level to go further. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith." Some have strayed from the faith. So that means that it's a constant level. It's a constant challenge that we are having to overcome. It's not a once and done. It's not like, oh, I'm a tither and now game over, like I've won the game. It says strayed from the faith. So that means if they had the faith before, this isn't talking about a non-believer. Some have strayed from the faith. So maybe they're tithers, you know, and they've achieved that. But God's like, okay, you're going to the next level. I want to take you to the next level. Hallelujah. In their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. Money just exposes what's in your heart. Money just exposes what was already there. If you were cheap before, you're going to be cheap when you have money anyway. If you're not a giver when you're on your way up, you're not going to be a giver when you've, you know, achieved success. So it's a constant thing that you have to go through to listen to the voice of the Lord and have him speak to you and say, Lord, what do you have me to do? What would you have me to do? What would you have me to give? And to constantly allow him to speak to your heart on that. It's also, it does, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, for us, we quit our jobs to start the ministry. We did not join the ministry for a paycheck. We did not join the ministry to become millionaires. We joined the ministry because we knew God had a call of God on our lives, and we loved people so much that we didn't want to see them suffering and spend an eternity in hell. That's why we answered the call of God in our lives. And me and Pastor Jeremiah, we were doing well. We were making money. We had great money coming in. I was the general manager at LA Fitness, and I loved my job. I loved what I did. But it was the moment when I went down to Florida and I received a touch from the Lord that the Lord showed me and revealed my heart, that I had become complacent, that I had become satisfied in a way in my job, and that it was that he was exposing what was really in my heart, and that that didn't matter anymore. That living for the Lord is more important, that serving Jesus with all your heart, because that's what matters in eternity. We can only take people with us to eternity. Hallelujah. No money, no boats, no cars, nothing. We can't take any of it with us. And I know so many people that have gone through Bible school. They've graduated Bible school. They have a call of God on their life, and they're not fulfilling and doing what God's called them to do. It really breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because to think about all the individuals, all the people that God wants to use you to touch their lives, because, you know, my husband preached this past Sunday about eternity, and it is so important that we get busy. The harvest is ripe, so we need more laborers. We need more people that will preach the gospel, that will be bold and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God into salvation. Hallelujah. Okay, so the money test. So that was number two. And then the last one I have is feelings. Feelings. Now, ladies, single ladies, married ladies, all the ladies, we have a deeper touch, you know, in tune with our emotions and feelings that men do in general. Okay. And women, I was sharing with someone the other day, I feel like within either in a marriage or in everyday life, there has to become a level that we rise above our feelings and emotions and we allow the Lord to speak to us because it's faith that pleases God. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. It doesn't matter what the experience is in someone else's situation. The word of God is true, and the word of God never fails. So the Bible is the last and the only thing that matters. I don't care about feelings and emotions. I know, though, that God can take us to, and I'm speaking to the guys as well, because I know there are some guys, too, that they're more in touch with their feelings. I got blessed with a husband who has no feelings. It is only ever faith. It's only ever a kick in the pants. It's only ever like, this is what the word of God says. And I'm like, can't you just hold me? Can't you just cuddle me right now? Like, I don't need you to fix my problems. I just need you to like listen to me. And he's like, I can do that for you. But if you really want to go to the next level and see change in your life, I'm going to have to give you the word of God. So he doesn't mess around with me. He's like, this is what the Bible says. We're going to pray right now. And that's when we begin to see things actually take place in our life. When we pray, when we come together and we say, okay, we're going to overcome this. We're getting through this. We're not going to stay back on level 10 of Zelda. You know what I mean? We're not going to be in a corner in a wall of 007, all right? We're going to win the game, all right? Hallelujah. So, John 3:6 says that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. We are born of the Spirit. If you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. You don't walk by your feelings and your emotions, because feelings and emotions are your soul and your body. And how many know that our bodies are not saved? So we have to put our bodies into subjection. And I know that that means that we have to actually apply the word into our life in situations when we feel like what we would really like is a really hardcore snuggle. You know what I mean? But it's like, no, we need to get into the word of God, and we need to understand what the Lord says about our situation, because we're going over and we do not operate by feelings or emotions. There are so many baby Christians running around who are operating solely on how they feel. And I'll tell you, when so many people come to me and they say, either this is going on or that's going on in this situation, when tragedy or something strikes, because the devil will try to come and do things in our lives, I can tell an individual right off the bat who is faithful, full of faith, and someone who is full of emotions. Because you hear it in their talk, you hear it in what they say, you hear how they give it, you know, experience and different things like that. But someone, when they say to me, this is what I'm going through, but if you just want to believe with me, and we can pray right now, because God is good, he's still on the throne, and he's delivering me through this situation, hallelujah, I'm only going towards the things of God, I'm not going backwards, then that's someone I can link up with. That's someone that I can say, all right, we can believe for a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, Christians, they want a pastor to just hug and coddle them. But you don't need a pastor to meet you in the pit. You need a pastor to pull you out of it. Hallelujah. You need a pastor. You need someone who is going to challenge you, who's going to take you to the next level, because you can go to any of these seeker-sensitive churches, and they'll all want to give you a hug and hug it out through the storm. They want to meet you in the pit. They want to just, like, you know, they just want to get right in there with you and just, you know, God is love and that's all we care about. But you really, if you want to go to the next level, you need a pastor that's going to give you tough love and is going to say, I know what you're going through sucks right now, but this is what the word of God says, and we're going to pray and we're going to believe for a miracle. Because you don't need a pastor that's going to go to the coffee shop with you. You don't need a pastor that's going to go shopping with you. You don't need a pastor that's going to do all this fun, nice things with you. You need a pastor that when they pray for you, a miracle takes place. Hallelujah. And that's what Pastor Jeremiah and I believe. That's what we're here for. That's why this church is challenging, because we want to actually see people grow. We want to see people go to the next level. We don't want to see them just, you know, sitting around in their soot for 30 years. Hallelujah. All right. So this is my last part, and I wanted to share what the distractions are. So those are the three distractions: sin, money, and feelings. And I feel that every single person has to pass these tests in order to go to the next level with the Lord. You have to pass them. You have to overcome sin. You have to realize that you are more than a conqueror in Christ. You have to understand that you are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. That's Romans 6:18. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. We are slaves of righteousness. We are not held back to sin. You can overcome sin. And this is how I'm going to tell you how you can do it. These different, how to run after the things of God and how to quicken the process is what I'm getting into now. So the other one was money and then feelings. Okay. How to run after the things of God. I think a lot of people would receive the breakthrough they desire if they would just allow the Lord to mature them. If they would allow the Lord to grow them spiritually, and I say this word loosely, but act like an adult. You know, when you're a kid and like your mom and dad, they always seem so, you know, mature and they have it all together, you know, your parents. I know that that's loosely, because you could still have someone who's been serving the Lord for how many years and they haven't passed one of these three tests. They haven't gone to the next level. But you know, like I said before, I don't take advice from my family. I don't take advice from people that are not 10 steps ahead of me. That's why Pastor Jeremiah and I, we go to the church in Texas. We go to the church in Tampa Bay because we're going forward and we want our faith to be supercharged because we need, and so that means we need to surround ourselves with people that are doing more for the kingdom of God than we are. Hallelujah. So you need to find some friends. You need to seek out these people that are doing more for God, that can pour into your life, and that you begin to go to the next level in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So first one I have is get serious about your relationship with God. So many people are held back by character flaws. So many people are held back just by character flaws. And this was what really the Lord began to do in my life when I was in Bible school. Because like I said, all of those sins, all of those things on the outside, they disappeared from my life. They were just instantly gone and I didn't struggle with those things anymore. But there was character things that God wanted to change in my life because I didn't grow up in a Holy Ghost filled family. I didn't grow up where it was preached that this is right and this is wrong. It was like, this is whatever you feel, you know, do what feels good type of thing. You make your own path. You make your own decision. And so it was those character things that the Lord wanted to put in me to mature me so that I could go to the next level. So here's a few of the examples that I have here for when the Lord told me to get serious about my relationship with the Lord. One of them was being on time. Before I was saved, I really struggled with this. I was not an on-time person. It was like the Julia show, and Julia shows up whenever she wants, and like, you know, when I'm there, the party's here, you know, so like I'm going to come and be fashionably late. I'm going to do my own thing. But it wasn't until Bible school where it was like, you must be here at 9 o'clock or you are getting kicked out. You're not, you have three chances to be late and then you're no longer a student here. And it was like, either Julia, you're going to get it together quickly or you're not going to see yourself in Bible school anymore. So it was like when the Lord began to like deal with me on this, it was like, it's the most practical, simple things, you know? Okay, just set your alarm a little bit earlier. Maybe go to bed a little bit earlier or plan some things out the night before so that in the morning you'll be all ready so that you can get to church so you can receive what God wants to impart into your life. Hallelujah. So being on time. Don't miss church. In Bible school, it was like, I mean, you were there pretty much every day. You were there Monday through Friday during the days, and then Wednesday night service. They were doing the Great Awakening at that time, so service was every single night. So it was mandatory to go one of the nights plus Wednesday night. And so it was like you were there all the time when the church was open. It was not optional to go to church. And I'm so thankful that when I first got saved, that was instilled in me where it's like, it is not optional to be in the house of the Lord. Because every single time you come into the presence of God, every single time you come into your Heavenly Father's house, He speaks to you. He does a work. But you have to be open and ready to receive it. You have to come with an open, glad heart for God to just say to the Lord, Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me today? And you know, when we first launched the church, I was actually realizing that I started to kind of slip from that because I got really comfortable with the fact that my husband was the pastor. So I began to like, you know, see him as like, well, that's my husband. I knew everything about him. And when the Lord spoke to me, He says, I'm moving in this church. My anointing is showing up. So you're either going to get what I have for you or you're going to miss out and just be taking up a pew. And so when the Lord was speaking that to me, I was like, Lord, I don't want to miss anything you have. I'm so sorry. I stopped caring what other people thought about me. I, you know, was at the altar and hitting the deck just as quickly as anyone else when the Lord was doing a work in my heart and wanting to change something and work something out. And I had to stop realizing or stop thinking that my husband, that it was God that was wanting to speak to me. Because otherwise, what's the point of me coming to this church? I get touched here too. I get filled up here too. The Lord's doing things in my life and taking me to the next level. But what's the point of me being here at River Church if I don't begin to receive from what God wants to do in my life? You can never get comfortable. And like I said before, you need a pastor. You need to be able to respect the pastor and that role that God's put over your life, because there is protection there. There's spiritual covering that is supposed to be in your life to be able to pray for you, to see you to go to the next level. Hallelujah. So I'm so thankful for a pastor like Jeremiah that will speak to me, that will correct me, that will in love. It's all in love, because he loves me and he wants to see me grow in the things of God. That man doesn't have a mean bone in his body, unless it's towards deer, you know? He's the sweetest, nicest man, and I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful to have him. And I think about all the idiots I dated. Man, I am so blessed to have the best husband there is. Hallelujah. There is nothing like a man of God that will just go after the things of God with all of his heart and not care about what's going on around him. And it's just like keeping their eyes on Jesus. So I am so thankful. I won the jackpot there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I put, don't miss church. Be about your father's business. Whatever the father's business is for your life, you need to fulfill that. You need to do that. You need to go after that with all that you have. Be about your father's business. Hallelujah. And then I put, number two is take action. Don't allow yourself to make excuses to be an option. A lot of times the lies and different things that we convince in our mind that, like, you know, that we don't need to do this, that that's okay, that, you know, take responsibility. Take responsibility and begin to allow the Lord to use you in a way that, you know, by being honest with yourself, to allow him to make the corrections that need to be corrected. Don't convince yourself, oh, it's okay, like whatever. So-and-so does this, and so that's what I do is not as bad as what so-and-so does. So I'm at least a little bit further along as them. That is not a get out of jail free card. And when we get to heaven, we are going to have to explain for everything that we did. So taking action. When I was in Bible school, there was so many different things that I did as far as consecration, as far as like taking a time to be focused on me and the Lord and not allowing any distractions to get into my life. Fasting, social media fasting, movies, friends, and family. All of these were things that were distractions that I had to cut out of my life for a season so I could begin to hear actually what the voice of the Lord sounded like. You know, someone that comes to me now and says like, oh, I know when the Lord speaks to me. Oh, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when the Lord speaks to me. I'm like, really? Because I don't always even know. I'm like, you know, every single time God speaks to you without a shadow of a doubt, you know what God's wanting to do in your life. Wow, you are like really spiritually there. You are like over the top, you know? You must be raising the dead, you know? So I'm just like, I am at a point where it's like, even recently, Pastor Jeremiah and myself, we've been getting so much busier. We've been going to the next level, and we've cut out movies. We've cut out TV. We've cut out YouTube. We've done social media fast, because everything that the world is pumping into our mind is social engineering. They want you to think the way they think. They want you to think doubt. They want you to think fear. I mean, why are there like thousands and thousands of commercials on like different medications that is going to like, one's going to wake you up. One's going to put you down. One's going to like, you know, fix this. But don't forget, all of these like different things are going to come from this drug. You're not going to be able to go to the bathroom ever. Your right arm is going to fall off instantly. Like, I mean, they name all of these things, and I'm like, okay, so this is what the world in the TV shows, you cannot watch a TV show without some sort of sexually inappropriate scene in there. And I know how we work, that our minds, whatever you put in, your eye gates and your ear gates, whatever you put in is what's going to come out. The Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Out of your heart, out of whatever you put in here and here is going to be what flows out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so then whatever in your heart is going to be what comes out of you. So I started realizing that, like, I was having a pity party for myself. I started comparing myself in different social media aspects. It's like anytime I got off of Instagram, I was like so depressed that I felt like, here I am, 30 years old, and I don't have like, you know, a mega church of like 5 million. What am I doing? You know, what am I doing with my life? And so it's like, I realized that when I was in Bible school, I wasn't on social media. They just launched Instagram and I wasn't on there. And so it was easy for me to like cut out Facebook because like it's Facebook, you know, it's really gotten annoying now, but it wasn't that annoying back then. But I took that time to be off of social media. And the moment that Pastor Jeremiah and myself did that, it was like we began to really hear the voice of the Lord and understand like, okay, this is where we're going and we're not stopping. We are only going forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So for some of you, maybe this time of consecration, you need to get off of social media. You need to stop watching different things. You need to cut friends out of your life that aren't meant to be there. Okay, and then lastly, I put get involved. Let God use you. And let God use you where you are right now, because we're all growing. When I went to Bible school, I was saved for like less than a year, and I was already out on the streets winning souls, seeing miracles take place like popcorn. I mean, I prayed for this woman, and she was deaf mute, and I prayed for her. I prayed for her three times. Her ears pop open, and she starts reading her salvation out loud with her mouth. And I'm like dumbfounded, and I'm like, you know, when you get used by God, you realize it's not you. Because I didn't go to school at all for learning how to do any sort of medical things. It wasn't some voodoo I did on her. I just prayed and believed that Jesus would come and touch her. And that's exactly what happened. I've seen the Lord when he began to use me, that I started to even feel the presence of the Lord stronger and realize that like my life and my purpose mattered, that there was a greater and bigger plan. And so as I was being faithful to the ministry and to the vision of Pastor Rodney and Adonica, I began to see that God was giving me my vision and that this was what I was called to do. So get involved. Soul winning, ministries of helps, Bible school, whatever it is that the Lord's puts on your heart, be obedient to do that and do it to the best of your ability. When you are used by God, you go to another level. Another level. Hallelujah. And we're all about going to another level. We're all about being used by the Lord and allowing him to do the work on the inside of us, to take out and to put in what is and shouldn't be in there. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.